So let's talk about what's next for Ohio State. Obviously, you know, obviously from this loss, we don't make it to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
But also we have some other key teams end up with losses this week as well. I've seen today that the coaches poll has Ohio State at five. Obviously, it's not the playoff committee poll, yeah, which ones matters the most. But the coaches poll is five. And when you look at it, five seems like a fair spot to us. So what do you think about postseason and what's next?
Did LSU win?
LSU lost.
LSU lost?
LSU lost.
So
they lost to Texas A&M.
They lost to Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. So you know the committee wants to put – you know they're going to favor the SEC.
Yeah.
And you know when in doubt they want Bama in there, mm-hmm, right? However, I don't see a pathway for Bama to get in over Ohio State. Now, some others may disagree with that.
Yeah.
But Bama did lose both games they lost. They did lose by a combination of maybe, 3 points or whatever. So they were both, like, close losses. They didn't have – a big loss like we had at home. Mm-hmm. However, they lost two games.
They lost two games. And they also don't go to the championship.
And they don't go to the championship. So they don't have no way to play themselves back into position.
Right.
So I think we end up at five. I think the college football playoffs should put Ohio State at five. Mm-hmm. And a loss from USC or a loss from TCU should lead to Ohio State in the playoffs for one reason and one reason only. Who else do you put in?
Right. Yeah, so I guess we have to say, so USC and TCU both had championship games. TCU in the Big 12 championship, they played Kansas State. And the Pac-10 was really interesting. I think it's the Pac-12 now. But the Pac-12, you have USC playing Utah, and the only loss of the year for USC is to Utah in the 43-42 game. So that's a rematch for them. So that's obviously it's a lot there. Obviously, before this year, Utah's ranked like 12th in the nation now. So not too bad. And solid before team. This season, they was ranked preseason was ranked pretty high as well. You know, they have a good team. If you remember last year, the Rose Bowl, was that the Rose Bowl Ohio State played Utah, and they had that shootout. Yep. Well, scoring a ton of points, so we know that they are capable of scoring the ball as well. So it'll be interesting. But to me, like you say, Ohio State at five. I've been saying this, and then I guess obviously it'll be good for the coaches and kids and players to make it to the playoffs. But to me, losing to Michigan like that, is over, man.
Yeah.
Like the season's over. Like, it's not like we lost to a game early in the season. Now we're rolling and, you know, okay, are they going to let us in or not? Like, bro, you just lost your rivalry game. They almost doubled you in points on your home field.
But it's not over if you make the playoffs.
It's not over if you make the playoffs. So, correct. And if they make the playoffs, obviously I'm cheering for them full heart. I might even try to go
and
to
you
the
can,
game.
You could potentially end up against Michigan again. Now, it's not likely.
Not likely.
And if you line up against Georgia – I guarantee you, if you have these little detailed mistakes, it's going to look very similar to the Michigan. It may look worse.
It may look worse, right? Yeah. Georgia's defense and Stinson at quarterback, who's obviously he's a better quarterback than McCaffrey is for sure.
Yeah, and so let's not forget. Let's not be hypocritical here, because we were number one in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
We were number one in the nation. We lost to Illinois at home on senior day. We thought our season was over, mm-hmm, even though, I mean, difference then, we still had a game against Michigan to kind of make us feel better.
Mm-hmm.
However, we thought generally our national championship hopes were over.
Right.
A bunch of teams lost. We ended up in a national championship against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, similarly, if teams lose, it could end up being a similar situation in the playoffs. Against a SEC team.
Yeah, and listen, I also get it confused. I'm going to be cheering for those. I feel like the season's over just because, you know, I got that sour taste in my mouth. But I'm going to be cheering for those upsets to take place just so, you know, we could, you know, leave it to the committee, Ohio State team, with, you know, led by C.J. Stroud and a defense that actually was, you know, pretty decent until the last game.
Yeah,
you know, having a pretty decent year.
So based on that, though, let's talk about what is needed going forward. If they make a playoffs, uh-huh, or depending on what bowl game they go to, and going into next year.
Yeah, so I'd like to say, first off, you know, if we are to squeak into the playoffs, most likely we'll be playing Georgia, who's known for having, like, a stonewall explosive defense.
Yeah.
and an offense that's kind of, you know, they run the ball well and they kind of.
Kind of like Michigan. Like Michigan. A little bit more talent.
A little bit more talent, right? So I would say overall, it comes back to execute. I mean, mentally, obviously, before you play a game like that, you get to practice for a month knowing what team you're playing against, right? And that's always a benefit. But that's the mental errors that lost us this last game. It really wasn't physical, right? You know, going into it, we thought 2 years ago we lost to Michigan. It was physical. We lost because of the, you know, physical. We physically wasn't there.
Yeah.
So this year it's like, oh, okay, we know we need to be physical, but mentally it went out the window.
You know what? You know what it reminds me of though. So I talked about that year we went to the national championship. This is 2007 season.
Mm-hmm.
We ended up playing LSU in the Superdome and national championship. This 2 years in a row, we went to the national championship. This is the second year.
Right.
We were both redshirt freshmen. Do you remember going into that game? First of all, the narrative after we lost to Florida the year before was SEC speed, SEC speed.
Right.
Do you remember our practices, our bowl practice, getting prepared for the LSU game? We had a period where we'd be playing, we'd be practicing hard. They blow the whistle, and it was SEC period, and they had make us run across the field. It bothers me. It bothered me then. It bothers me now. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why it bothered me, though, I'm going off on a tangent a little bit. But
no, that's good, though, because I kind of forgot about it now until you bring it up.
One of the reasons why it bothered me is because when I played in an LSU game, I grew up in New Orleans. I grew up in the area. Mm-hmm. There's at least five guys on that team who either grew up in my neighborhood, who I went to middle school with, who I played against at the playground. These are guys that I know. These are guys that I was faster than. You know what I'm saying? So you pausing every practice in the period, and we running back and forth because of SEC speed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I grew up with these dudes. I'm faster than these dudes. He's telling me I gotta train for it. But I feel like mentally, we focus so much on this fast LSU team. But if you remember how these dudes beat us.
It's trick plays.
Trick plays.
Black
unbalanced
field goal.
Play action fakes, throwing the ball to the tight ends who they had never thrown a ball to all year.
Yeah.
Wide open. Mm-hmm. It felt just like how we just lost to Michigan, bro. Where we focused so much on this one thing, and the way they beat us was completely different. And really what it all came down to was eye discipline and execution.
And execution. Yeah, I recall that now. Because as an offensive lineman, as you see, when a guy, when offensive lineman play and practice, he got knee braces on. So it's like, as often, like with the knee braces on, you could play football pretty well. The only thing that really limits you from doing is running straight. Lifting up and running straight. It's just like your legs, obviously, are extra heavy, and you got these extra straps that are making things tight. So I do recall that now, and it was horrible. It's like, man, we got to run. No taking knee brace. Like I say, it's the middle of practice, so you just got to run gashes with these knee braces on. And hope you don't.
And I remember just mentally, because I was young at that time. My junior, senior year probably wouldn't have bothered me as much. But as a young player, you know, it was my first year starting in such a big game. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? And I was starting to think, like, man, these receivers, they got to be really good. But the only thing that kept me grounded a little bit is like, man, I know Chris Mitchell, man. Yeah. We went to middle school together. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I know him. Like, and I remember going in that game, and I started. I pretty much played the whole game. We played nickel package. And they didn't throw the ball to my receiver the entire game. The whole game. These receivers, they going to the NFL. Mm-hmm. They had big years, all that stuff.
Yep.
And we so concerned about them. Didn't get passes the entire game.
Right.
It was just tight ends, run the ball.
Right, tight end, run the ball. And that's how they really then our mistakes on offense cost us that game.
So going forward, we need to execute.
Got
to
execute. And it's always funny because Tressel was always, well, obviously most coaches got to say it, like, right? But Tressel was our college coach.
Yeah.
But he used to say, like, you know, this game is very physical. It's a very tough game mentally as well. So, your physical body is going to be in the physical game, but mentally you're going to have to be, you know, execute and be tough as well. And that's what we did not see.
Tressel, Haycock, Fickell. I remember going into the game, our last, like, pregame meeting. You know, it was like rah-rah all week. Everybody's loud. Coach is loud. But right before the game, we'd have our meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd be talking real soft and real quiet. And they'd be like, look, guys, look. It's going to come down to us executing. It's going to come down to us executing. They'll go through some of the plays. We'll go through some of the, possessions. And they'll say, you know, when we go on cover three, remember, they run this. They run this, but they can also do this. We got to, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of taking us back through the plays that can get us, mm-hmm. right? This is the plays that they run. Here's what they can do off of it.
Yep.
And that was like the reminder, and it was so much more calm.
Yeah,
and,
you're right.
And it reminded us that, you know, okay, we're going to have high emotions. But really, at the end of the day, yes, we got to be physical. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to remember and really be able to execute. And as long as we do that because of our talent, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. we're going to be able to put ourselves in a position to beat these guys year in and year out.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we're at the end of this, we're going to go into a couple plays. Be honest, they're Michigan big plays where we just want to talk a little bit more about mentally not executing properly and not being able to perform due to those things. But I had to say this before we get into those plays. Obviously, we lost two in a row now to Michigan. And when we said last game how Coach Earl Bruce used to always come talk to us, and he said, we'll get coaches fired from Ohio State. Obviously, we don't want they to get fired. But what will get you fired is losing three in a row to Michigan.
Yeah.
Coach Woody Hayes, the great Woody Hayes, he had lost three in a row before he lost his job. Obviously, a lot of people say it's too because due to him hitting the kid. But Coach Earl Bruce used to have a little joke like, nah, really, because he lost to Michigan three times.
Yeah.
When he lost his job, was recently terminated, he had just lost three. Same thing for Coach Cooper. Obviously, that wasn't the same for Tressel and Urban.
Yeah.
But historically, that's when, you know, stuff starts to happen. You lose three in a row to Michigan. So on to the 23 season. And like I say, live with it, brew with it, get better. And from here, we're going to go into these plays before we end out the show.
Yep. So this is the Believe in Buckeye podcast. We'll check some of these plays out and break this down. And that's it for this one.
That's it. So at this point in the game, I mean, things are going well. Ohio State is looking like the dominant team. We're up 10-3. It's the second quarter. Michigan had a decent drive. Obviously, they got a field goal out of it. But, you know, and after this, in this play, we get to 3rd-and-8. We make a play to stop them. And, you know, tackle for loss right here. And then we get to 3rd-and-8, 3rd-and-9 situation, second quarter. And from here, this is when things kind of start to go away. Chin, what you see here?
So I'm a pause right here and look at it. So like you said, we get him to 3rd-and-long, good situation. Jim knows the defensive coordinator is looking to be a little aggressive with a zero blitz. A zero blitz means we're sending more people than they can block, and we're just going to go man-to-man. We're not going to have no free safety, no help over the top. And I heard a lot of fans complaining about him being so aggressive. However, this is how you go win these types of games. You go attack on the defense. And here, it's 3rd-and-long. It's 3rd-and-9. They need to – the routes have to go 9 yards for them to get the first down. It has to get past the sticks for them to get first down.
Right.
So if you send more than they can block, those routes can't go past the sticks. So they're going to have to throw the ball in front of the sticks, and all you got to do as a DB, you know, all you got to do as a DB is set your feet at the sticks, let them throw the ball in front of you, and go make a tackle. If you look up top, you got Cam Brown, man. I love Cam, man. He plays hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, he fights at the quarterback.
I feel like it's going to be a butt here. I feel like.
I just don't understand. On this play, he disguises a press man. So, like I said, it's 3rd-and-long. They're sending more than they can block. Our front has been playing great, right? As a corner, you know the ball's coming out quick. All I got to do is get set and be ready to break and go make a play. However, on this play, he disguises press man and he gets off. Right. But now he's already open. So now he put himself in a position to where anything short could be caught. And now because you're already open, you're kind of out of whack that you got to put your foot in the ground, get back squared up to try to make a tackle. He's just making it harder on himself. So if you watch the play develop here, he's open. You don't want to be in this position when you're sending an all-out blitz. You want to be square, slow pedaling back, and ready to just trigger and go make a play. However, he's open. You see him, he's going to end up getting flipped around. The quarterback's under duress. He's getting hit. He's just throwing the ball. If you're a DB, you can see the quarterback doing this. You could break before the receiver even breaks because the ball's already out. The receiver's still running up the field, but the corner – gets flipped around. Now he's kind of out of whack, and he can't really break down and just make a solid tackle. And this is what happens. And you know, we talked about who's going to be more physical, you know, who's going to be able to do the different things. But really just came down to being able to execute.
Yeah. And a lot of there, like you say, Chim, is technique, right? I mean, when it comes down to technique, it has to be drilled into you. So I guess that kind of, in my mind, falls back on the coaching a little bit, right? Would you say that falls back on the coaching, not being square, him being open?
I think it falls on coaching. I think it falls on him as well. I think, you know, when you see a play like that, my first thought in my mind was that was just a fluke play.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
However, 5 explosive plays, 5 touchdowns.
5 touchdowns.
You can't have 5 flukes.
You can't have 5 flukes.
All right, so here we go again.
So, once again, Ohio State has to lead. We give it the big play, 10-10. We're able to get a sustained drive. Come back to answer with a field goal. I believe we had a shot at a touchdown on that drive, but we don't get it. We don't execute. We don't get it. So now Michigan has the ball. So right now it's 1st and 10. We're in a decent spot on the field, right? So nothing too out of the ordinary. And we're going to go ahead and get into the play and kind of go into what happened here.
So, yeah, so look at this, okay? Another play where they're backed up. They're backed up. First of all, if you look at percentages, it's hard for teams – that start on their own 20, their own 25, drive all the way down the field and score.
Yeah.
We make it very, very easy for them to do it. We had the 69-yard touchdown play. And then here you go again. They get out of whack. Guy goes in motion here. And they're in some type of zone coverage. So a guy going in motion shouldn't be that crazy. He's like, okay, guy goes in motion. Everybody
right,
wide
play
out.
Your zone.
Yeah. And you play your zone. We have 3 guys deep. So I feel like it's some type of cover two. This guy in the middle is almost like a Tampa 2. I'm not sure exactly what the coverage is. But this guy gets really wide. And for some reason, with the motion, it kind of throws him off. Because he gets super wide. The other guy who's in the middle, these guys stay short. So there ain't no help deep, which I really don't understand. But needless to say, you end up with a guy wide open running down the field. And this is really, really what it amounts to is a blown coverage. Guy goes in motion. You have one guy running out, running way too wide, and the other guys don't get the depth. So I don't know what was communicated pre-snap, but whatever it was, it ended up being a blown coverage, and they gave up another huge play. And you can't win football games, big games, against a rival opponent giving up these type of plays. These are gimme plays.
Just gimmies. This is just... Yeah, I mean, it was at one point in the game, I think after this, at one point, McCaffrey, who's Michigan's quarterback, he's 5'11", which is not good by any measure.
Not great at all.
2 touchdowns. And that's just, this is a clip of the 2nd touchdown. 2 touchdowns, 5'11", 2 touchdowns. And they're talking like, you know, like he's just having the game of his life. Like, no, he's throwing the ball to wide open receivers
where when they caught the ball, they don't get tackled. They barely get touched. It's just bad football.
All right, so now it's the 4th quarter. Michigan clearly won the 3rd quarter at this point. They hit on another big pass for a touchdown. From there, they have a sustainable drive. The quarterback is able to rush a touchdown in. But we're fighting back at this time. You know, we're down. We're staying competitive. We have a good drive. Michigan makes a good play in the end zone for us to have a touchdown. But if we kick a field goal, 7 minutes left in the game. Like I said, we're in it. We're down by 8. Obviously, that's a 1 score and a 2-point conversion.
Right.
We're in there.
Still a 1 score game. And now at this point, you know, okay, Michigan wants to do 2 things. They want to control the clock.
Right.
They want to run some time down. And they want to finish it off with a score.
Yeah.
In Michigan's mind, they're going on a drive, right? They're not expecting this type of drive, right? So a run on 1st and 10 that leads to a touchdown. And on this play, I mean, you see it. Right. They ran some type of blitz. The blitz didn't work. He was able to squeak through the hole. Run through the hole, and if you're in man-to-man coverage and you run a blitz and you don't get the gaps covered, right? It's going to be running back on safety. And it's not a great feeling as a safety to be in this position. However, first, I mean, I think you need to see run,
right.
Rerun. And then at a minimum.
It's 1st and 10.
At a minimum. You got to take the angle that one gets his guy down, but at least gets his guy to cut back.
Yeah.
You know, get this guy to cut back and get the other guys involved in this play. And a first down run to get the drive started leads to another explosive play for a touchdown.
And right here, so we're going to try to take it back, just a smidget back, but we want to get the tight copy look of this here.
And hit play.
And so essentially, this is really easy money at this point, guys. I mean, it's just really simple. When you look at this run here, they're running the inside zone to the boundary. Yep. It's first and 10. Looking at the numbers are great, but then we do things to kind of help them out. The nose, he slants to the boundary. So instead of someone trying to two-gap the center, play that lane, he's slanting away, which tells us usually if you have someone slanting away, either you have pressure coming there or there's some type of looping player that needs to kind of fill in his spot.
Somebody coming back.
Somebody's coming back. Our wheel linebacker, he fires. The guards eats him up right away. The Mike linebacker, he scrapes, doesn't get nowhere near far enough. He gets eaten up by the center. And then you have a lane. You can see the backside end who's off the ball. I believe that's 33, Sawyer there. He's attempting some type of movement over, but once again, when it comes down to it, if you take a look at this clip here, I mean, it's just wide open. This is just easy. And you can see no one gets a hands on him at all. It's just off to the races from the start. And this is a time in the game where we need to make a play, get the ball back to our offense if we want to stay in this game. And we give up essentially a no hand, no touch on the running back touchdown to kind of open up things and make us in
it gets bad,
bad spot.
In the post game, you know, Jim Knowles did the post game press conference. And one of the questions was, you know, Knowles, you mentioned that, you know, five explosives, we can't give up more than five explosives in a game. But five explosives in this game led to five touchdowns that led to you losing the game. So do you need to kind of rethink that idea? And I remember his response was, yeah, we need to reevaluate. You know, we focus on not giving them more than five explosives. But when those explosives turn into touchdowns, there's something else. Like, they're not explosive plays. They're like, I don't know what's good, what's worse than they're like atomic bombs or something. Yeah. And that's essentially what happened is 69-yard
touchdown.
A 7-yard hitch short of the first down ends up being a 69-yard touchdown. Another like 70-yard touchdown on a play where, you know, one guy goes deep and you got three deep defenders and nobody being able to cover him. And then an explosive run like this.
Fourth quarter, 7 minutes left in the game. Everybody has to have some type of respect for Ohio State's offense. And we don't stop inside zone, let alone we don't stop it. We don't touch the guy. And it's and at that point in time, you can almost say, like, well, you know, the game is pretty much over after giving up a play like that, and definitely not ideal.
And, you know, the game, which we talk about being a physical game, an emotional game, a hard-fought, down-to-the-wire game, really just came down to simple bad execution, really defensively.